It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my co-host and co-conspirator, Leanne Whippin, Hall of Famer, I might add. It's that time of year. We're coming into the Christmas holidays. You're probably still waddling around, no pun intended, after the Thanksgiving festivities. So, as normal, we always bring one of my favorite people on the planet, Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, my inspiration in life as far as the cooking. And we've got Graham back with us today. And Graham is now almost, what, a year into your marriage?
Two years. Oh, wow.
We were talking about how time flies when before we started recording. And that is true. Then I stand corrected. 2 years.
That's fine. It seems like yesterday. Let's put it this way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so we got to tell people. And before Leanne came on, I made a comment about your tie.
Yes. My tie I have had since Galloping Gourmet days. And they used to tune in the cameras using my tie to make the color balance properly on the cameras in the days when that used to have to happen. So it's getting a little threadbare around the edges, but that goes well.
It almost looks NASCAR. It looks like a NASCAR tie. it's got those colors.
Yes, and it does me good to know that I still have a tie.
Yeah, and then you wear it.
And, you know, the president continues to have this perfectly knotted tie.
Yes.
But most men nowadays, and even running for office, seem to have the open throat thing. So
for you today. Yeah. I'm impressed still that you can tie the knot if you're not tying them in much anymore.
Yes, without looking. Yes.
Yeah. All those years I traveled, I had to wear coats and ties and suits and stuff, and I could tie those things in the dark and get them probably 95% correct as far as the placement of the knot and like that. But I don't have to do that anymore. But I do wear a tie occasionally around Christmas because I've got a couple of sharp Christmas ties.
I'm going to wear a tie on Thanksgiving. We're having a complete family Thanksgiving this year, just Nancy and me.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, nice.
And I have planned it down to the last detail and been shopping creatively, and I'm ready to go. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what you had at Thanksgiving, and then we'll jump into Christmas. So what was on the agenda at Thanksgiving?
Well, this is a simple menu, first of all. It's avocado and shrimp, fresh shrimp, freshly cooked and tossed in with the avocado and with my favorite salad dressing, which comes from Olive Garden restaurant. They have their standard practice is to have a salad, that sort of ongoing salad. And they do a remarkably good vinaigrette. And I could reproduce it if I wanted to, but they do it so well and it's so available. Then I toss the shrimp and the avocado in that, and that's my first course. Second course, I got a company that they smoke turkey breast, and they do a really good job of this. So I've got this smaller turkey breast, and I'm cutting it completely across the grain so that when it lies that, it's an inch thick and lies on the plate, it looks about like that. And would be about 6 ounces, I guess. I'm going to put 2 slices of provolone cheese over the top of that. And I'm going to drape then 2 anchovy fillets so they cross. And then stud the whole thing with capers on the top of them. Then under the broiler it goes. until it dapples and gratins, you know, have that little brown spots, golden spots. Yeah. And the anchovies and the capers sink down into the cheese and with that turkey, with the smoked turkey. I'm really looking forward to that. Broccoli on the side, a little roasted sweet potatoes, nicely peeled and a brilliant orange color against a brilliant green. So that's what the plate will look like. Nothing else, just very simple. And then as a dessert, I'm getting from our local store, I found out that they get croissants in the frozen state. They get delivered to the store and the store then bakes the croissants. So I've got the frozen croissants. I managed to get into their system and get these. I know that's a little unusual. And then what I'm doing is I'm pumping a pumpkin pie spice mix of mine into the frozen croissant as it's going, so that I'm actually creating a pumpkin pie croissant, if you will. And then on the side, I've got a gelato because we're not into ice cream. So the gelato is a pumpkin pie gelato. Mm. It actually has pieces of pie in the gelato. And it's in several stores, so I felt that I could mention it to you. But it's really delicious and good. So that's it. And we're having a sparkling rosé on the side. Yeah.
Excellent. 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 I will. two quick confessions from my end. I have a large bottle of the Olive Garden salad dressing in
they
my
sell
pantry.
It at Sam's. I think they sell it at Sam's Club.
Yeah, they do. So I've got that for the upcoming festivities. And when you said gelato, last year we were in Hawaii for Thanksgiving. And right down the street from the hotel was a gelato store. And I became their best customer for 10 days. So there you go. That was it. Let's switch forward to Christmas here. And lots of changes. I know that I talked to Will Homer from Painted Hills Beef last night, and they don't have enough rib roast to go around.
Well,
one of the reasons is they've had to cut back a little bit on their production, just because of the expense and things like that. They're working through it. They're going to come out just fine, but they're doing that, and stores are scrambling for rib roasts. So just a heads up, you might consider a strip loin if you don't want to, spring, and rib roasts are expensive now. So anyway, that's my tip to people. You might look at a strip loin because most people won't tell the difference anyway. So, but what's going to be on Graham's table at Christmas?
Always roast lamb, my friend, and always basted in apple and orange juice, and a leg. Preferably, and I'm really angling, I can't confirm it at the moment, but I've got all my feelers out from the west coast of the South Island of New Zealand. And that's because over a ton of salt is dumped out of the Tasman Sea onto that coastline, and the sheep eat that salted grass, and you get a partially salted, rather like the Costco chicken, they brine beforehand. This is naturally bred into the flesh itself. The French call it pré-salé, meaning with salt. It's of all the lamb in the world, it probably has to be amongst the best.
So are you and Nancy just doing you two at Christmas, or are you going to have a house full of mini gourmets around there?
No, I think it's going to be the two of us. I'll be 92 on the 22nd of January. She her age is not declared.
I see.
But we're so enjoying each other, and quite honestly, there's so much that goes on in the community here that it's a big party for the whole of December. And so I think that for our meal, it's just going to be the two of us. But we'll be having our eyes open for somebody who looks as if they're not fitting in somewhere. And if that's so, I know both of us would love to include them.
Can I come?
Both of you can come, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, the, you know, when you go to the stores, you just get, sometimes you'll get a crown roast or something. And then sometimes you have the chops, and once in a while you'll see a leg in there. Do you recommend, if they're going to consider doing lamb, to go to maybe not New Zealand, but somewhere other than just the commercial stores, if there's a sheep rancher around or something?
Oh, if you can possibly get as close to the animal it's on the hoof. That for lamb, I find that works. When they're killed, they need to be hung for about 5 or 6 days. And so in New Zealand, because the killing is so massive, and they're frozen almost immediately, I always hang my lamb in the refrigerator. I put a hook through it and a plate underneath to get the drippings, and I hang it there always for at least 8 days.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Very good.
And
all right.
It really works beautifully. Yeah.
I hung in college. I hung upside down for a day one time, but we won't talk about that. Anyway, we're going to be back with Graham.
That's a great story you need to tell.
I don't know if we want to hear the rest of it.
Yeah, I might get in trouble. We're going to be back with Graham Kerr and Ms. Whippin in just a minute. Stay with us. You're listening to Barbecue Nation.
Need a vehicle? Does it feel hopeless? Did other dealerships already say no because of credit or negative equity?
Weston Kia wants to say yes during the Kia Fall Savings event. Come see Weston Kia, Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales.
January 1994 to December 2025, Weston Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon per Kia Corp.
Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Leanne Whippin, Hall of Famer and purveyor of pig powder, and also my good friend Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet. You look great, by the way. You
look fantastic.
Thank you. That's my mother's genes. By genes, I mean genetically.
Yeah.
I ever had a pair of jeans. Yeah.
I have to tell you something. Before we came on the show today, I was killing a little time for a few minutes. I had everything set up, and I went to ancestry.com, which I have an account there, if you will. And I was looking at stuff because I was thinking about you, Graham. And I thought, I have if you total it all up from Scotland and England and all this, I have about a 48% UK heritage in me. From, like I said, the Scotland lowlands, couple in the highlands, couple percentages down in Wales and all these places. I thought, well, okay. And then the other part of me is Swedish. That's my mother's side. But there's a lot of the UK in me there, and a little tiny bit of French. So
Well, you know, I'm Scottish, and I was pillaged 500-600 years ago by people from Norway and Sweden. So,
I think that's true. So let's go back and talk about beef for a second, and preparing beef for your Christmas dinner. A lot of people will still do rib roast or prime rib, as they call it, and or, you know, perhaps they do a strip loin, or perhaps they do something else. I mean, some people do lasagna. It's all in your whatever you like to do. But what are a couple of things that you and your vast experience would suggest to people when preparing their rib roast or a strip loin?
Okay. Well, you know, I've done several things over my career. One of which is, of course, the large salt crystals, and to roll the roast in those larger crystals of salt. And now there's a theory which I'm sure that probably you would like, because it's so good, that you started off at about 450 in order to sear the outside within a really hot temperature. Then you wind the temperature back down to about 350, 375, and finish the roast off in that way. Mm-hmm. I have never done that. I've always chosen the 350 mark and started it from fresh with the salt crystals on the outside. Now it doesn't crisp and brown as well as the fierce heat at the beginning, but I do find that it seems to cook better overall for the finished slice, and it's always heavier. And when you bring it out, there's quite a lot of evaporation that takes place with that high initial temperature. And being a Scot, I want to save with a rib roast as much as I can.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm one who has a pink about a 140, 150 temperature internal. And that's what. But you know, for me, the essence of a meal nowadays for me is the vegetable accompaniment that takes place. You heard me with my Thanksgiving. It's just simply broccoli and the brilliant orange. The brilliant orange and the green for me is wonderful. But I have a way now, which I was wanting to talk to you about, called a poêle, P-O-E-L-E. Have you ever heard that word poêle before?
No, I haven't.
Not from anybody but you, yeah.
Okay, well, a poêle, if you could imagine a sauté pan of about a 10 to 12-inch diameter with a really long handle, and it was a really long handle so that they could do that over a fire, so that they could get away from it enough. And the handle, of course, is always metal. But what they would do, they would put either butter or oil in the pan, first of all. And then they would have chopped up the vegetables in about 1-inch pieces, if you will, about the size you could cut a Brussels sprout in half, for example. And right, you've got parsnips and turnips and that range of vegetables. Now, do you have a Costco close to you?
Oh, yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm.
I guess most of us have. Costco do a thing called a mélange, M-E-L-A-N-G-E, and it's about a 4-pound bag of vegetables, and they're already pre-roasted, and it's got all of what the vegetables I just discussed with it. When it has mushrooms in it as well as sweet peppers. It's a marvelous combination, really, and quite inexpensive when you think of the labor involved in getting those vegetables together. So I take a brimming over cupful per person of these vegetables, and drop them into that hot oil, and then saute them, toss them backwards and forwards and move them around. I only have about a tablespoonful of oil in the bottom of the pan to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, then the essence comes. If you want to add a little bacon to that, then you drop some chopped bacon in. If you have a favorite sausage, then let the sausage also be part of that, the vegetable. And then Campbell's do the condensed soup, you know, the little cans. I pop one of those. Now, they do a cream of celery, which is my favorite. The cream of celery, I drop that into the pan, and then I get a stock, and it will be a chicken stock or veal stock or whatever bones I've had recently. And pour that about the same quantity. So for the condensing, it's the soup itself, the cream white, and then the stock on the top of it, the same volume. And then stir that all in together. I add the herbs of Provence, that spice mix, and mm-hmm. shake that in so that I can see that I've got enough. Adjust the seasoning. It's usually quite salty enough for me. And it looks magnificent.
I love it.
The greens and the colors and the mushrooms and the red peppers and all in this bathed in this cream sauce. With a little slice of bacon and sausage in there as well.
Okay. We got to take a break because my refrigerator is right there and you just made me hungry, but we're going to be back in a minute with Graham Kerr. Don't go away.
Attention stations. Contact Jeff at thecowboycook.com for distribution of the show after December 13th.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out. Welcome back to Graham's show. Leanne and I are just spectators today because he's given us so much good stuff. I had a question, though, about your vegetable dish you talked about.
Yes.
Is the bacon a bit pre-cooked before you drop it in there, or is it still raw and you need to let it cook a bit?
No. Thank you so much. Normally, what I do would be to take the meat content of this, mm-hmm. and that whole dish, by the way, that I've just described, is something that Nancy and I do frequently. We keep on changing the meat, and we keep on the vegetables stay the same, but the meat changes constantly, and the soup that we use. They have a wide range of condensed, so we use that as well. But always with freshly made stock in the tent. When the sausage and the bacon, that's added to the vegetables at the start so that it really does saute and get cooked before soup is added. Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite soups that Campbell's makes, and I use it in things like you're discussing, because I use cream of celery and I do all that stuff, but I love their golden mushroom. Now, I have no idea. I just like the flavor of it. It's probably chock full of chemicals. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It just tastes good. Instead of their basic old white condensed cream of mushroom soup, I use their golden mushroom soup. It's just something I like to do. So there you go.
We use that as well. I have their full range in order to have a variety.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once in a while, a can of Nally's chili. What the hell? You know, like that. But by the way, Leanne, I forgot at the top of the segment. Tell everybody about pig powder.
Oh, new spicy pig powder's coming out. New labels. But it will be the same ingredients. Nothing changed in the original pig powder, which is one best rub on the planet. One of the top, I think it's the top award really given to a dry rub. It's very versatile, sweet with a little back heat, can be used on seafood, poultry, pork, scrambled eggs, french fries, baked beans.
Oh, yeah.
So you can either go to Amazon or pigpowder.com to get yours. And yeah, it's a great Christmas gift too.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Did you ever send Graham some?
No, but I need to. Shame on me. Shame on me. I will. That is at the top of my list. You've just moved to number one spot of to-dos.
Okay. All right. All right. So let's move on with the Christmas dinner. Our standard fare, and Leanne said this to me last week on a show. She said, I'm more of a traditionalist, and I am. If you came to my house and Graham came to my house, I would not be. But the crew I feed every year, very traditional. So I always take that into consideration. Because I'm a very considerate guy, as you know. But I do that. But I've got half the people that won't eat broccoli. I've got half of them that won't eat Brussels sprouts. I've got, you know, that type of thing. So I tried to be in a traditional fashion. So at our house on Christmas, we have a roast. I do a twice baked potato, which if you're worried about caloric value, this is not the place to come. Because
it's got the bacon and the cheese.
It's got three different types of cheeses. It's got sour cream. It's got green onions. Bacon, lots of bacon. And then sometimes I've even diced up little bits of prosciutto and put in it. They don't know that because if I said it, their heads would explode, but it's in there. And then I coat it all with cheese and bake it off. And they love it. And, you know, when people come to take stuff home, the twice baked potatoes are, I have to make like three pans of them because not only what they'll eat at the meal, but then what they want to take home with them. And sure. If they'll do those twice bake and they'll steal some au jus from me and they put that on there when they're watching football on Friday or Saturday or whatever. But I also do a traditional Caesar salad and some pull apart rolls. Sometimes another vegetable like peas or something. Again, very traditional. But I wanted to get Leanne's take and then Graham's take on what you do at Christmas.
Well, for me, for Christmas, it's the same thing every year because we love it and look forward to it. It's always a bone-in rib roast. Sometimes I'll do a reverse sear on it. It depends on my mood. It depends on the cut that I get. I have a funny story. I actually had a rib roast that I ordered from, I think it was Publix, and I went to go pick it up the day before Christmas. And they didn't have it. They were all out after I pre-ordered it. So they actually delivered a crown roast of pork on Christmas Day. I don't know how they swung it. And that's what they delivered to us. And that's what I ended up cooking, which was a nice change. You know, stuffed it with wild rice and mushrooms and everything. It was good. But I like traditional rib roast. We do a string beans with onions, bacon, and mushroom, mashed potatoes, because I love making gravy. And so that's my thing. And it's very basic. And then, you know, the pull apart rolls and that's it.
That's it. Graham?
Yeah.
All right. Mine, I mentioned if I can possibly get that leg of lamb out of the West Coast, I know that's being picky and ridiculous. But if I can possibly swing it, I have connections and it may work. But if not, I'll get myself a leg of lamb and I will get it about 4 or 5 days at least before Christmas. And I will put an S-shaped hook in it and hang it up in my fridge and let it drip onto a plate. I must have at least 4 or 5 days of that taking place. Then I'm going to roast it at 325 degrees Fahrenheit, no early temperature at all. And I'm going to baste that whilst it's going with apple and orange juice, both of them canned, both of them without sugar. But the combination of apples and oranges basted over the meat with the drippings and the bottom make a fantastic citrus gravy.
Sure.
And it's called Lamb Andrew. And I thicken that with a little arrowroot. Not much, but a little arrowroot can be brilliant because it can reflect light wonderfully. It doesn't cloak the palate in any way. And it looks terrific. And with that, probably broccoli, because I just love that, and that my family does. And I also love, as I explained, those garnet sweet potatoes when they're peeled and roasted properly along with the lamb. It's just beautiful. So I will cut that at the table. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's the best part. What I was going to say, and Leanne, you jump in on this too, or Graham, doesn't matter. I actually, I take my roast the day before and I do any minimal trimming that is needed like that. But I will use a light coat of olive oil on it. And then I will season it and put it in a garbage bag, if you will. I have these plastic bags that are see-through, and I put it in my spare refrigerator overnight before I go to cook it the next day to roast it.
Okay.
And it's just some of that. And we know, you know, salt's the only thing that permeates the meat and that, but in the fat, that will kind of soak into the fat a bit. And I've just had good luck with that.
Well, you're almost creating a marinade, you know, and you have to make sure you don't use those bags that smell like Febreze.
Right.
So that's key too, I'm sure. I'm sure it's delicious, yeah.
Yeah, and I use, like Graham was suggesting, I use an ample amount of salt on the fat because, you know, I don't know how many people at your tables, but the hearty folks that come to my house love the spinellas. They love the fat cap on the outside, depending on how much I leave. And with all that salt and fat and seasoning, because I use, you know, basil and oregano and black pepper and all that garlic and all that good stuff, you may have in the eye of the rib steak, that eye may be there, but that spinella is gone off everybody's plates. That's how I'm going to.
You've trained them well.
I've trained them well. Yes. So is there any, you have any suggestions, Graham, for a seasoning like that?
Do you know, I am a devoted Herbs of Provence guy. I lived in Provence for a while and gathered those herbs myself. And I have McCormick's do a reasonable dry solution of those. And I like to mix those herbs with salt for the outside of a roast. And by the way, in the Savoy Hotel in London, they roast a baron of beef, you know, that's the loin and rump. And they have this large silver trolley and they wheel it to your table and open the trolley up like this. And Henry used to be the guy who, Henry would say, "Yes, sir. What will it be? What will your pleasure be today?" and I said, "I'd like an in and out, please, Henry." "Certainly, sir." So then he cuts this roasted, you know, crusted herb outside. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he'll go to the inner side that in the loin, which has been roasted at the same time, but is pinker, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you get a slice from that. So you get a slice in and out cut. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, here's to Henry, and we're going to take another break and come back and celebrate Christmas meals again right after this. Stay with us.
Need a vehicle? Does it feel hopeless? Did other dealerships already say no because of credit or negative equity?
Weston Kia wants to say yes during the Kia Fall Savings Event. Come see Weston Kia, Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales.
January 1994 to December 2025, Weston Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon per Kia Corp.
Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Leanne Whippin, Hall of Famer, I might add, and my mentor, Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet. And not only that, he's my friend. And I am sad to report to you that I have tried to resurrect that particular brand of huckleberry jam that you love so well. And unfortunately, that man is no longer with us. And then somebody else took it over, and they took it over and decided that it was too much work. So they just don't do it anymore. And that makes my heart.
That's
sad.
A shame. They were delicious.
They're great stuff. And I tried to keep Graham in it as often as I could. But I'm on the proverbial quest always for your huckleberry jam, Graham, like that.
Yes, and you may know the story behind that, but and there is, by the way, a long and quite lovely island alongside Vancouver Island on the Straits of Georgia called Huckleberry Island, which has a mass of huckleberries on it. And I have been trying to get huckleberry jam since you ceased to be my provider. Since you are no longer my provider, I want you to see that I really come on this program because I enjoy both of you very much.
Oh, well, thank you.
And therefore, I am without the jam and I don't care. So I was once crying into my pace mat. If you've heard this before, you're going to have to hear it again. It was that I'd been married 60 years, and the wife of my youth had died, and I was on my own at the table, and I was overwhelmed with a moment of self-pity and was crying onto my pace mat. And I felt the front door burst open, and God rushing in, you have to accept me. And he's got this big pot in his hand, and a ladle is in it. And he comes roaring up to the table, and he says to me, "Stop that!" And he gets this big ladle full of huckleberry jam, and he massages it into my placemat where I've been reading. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I noticed the other day that your friend had given you some huckleberry jam and you had had it for the first time and you were just amazed at how beautiful this is. And you were saying, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. But isn't that what you did?" I said, "Yes, it is. But why have you done this in my face?" He said, "Because when you are into self-pity, you are going down and down like a whirlpool all the way down, and there's no way out of that self-pity. But when you're grateful, then it just covers the whole thing, and you think of the things you're grateful for. And if you think of those, the self-pity will go away completely." That's why I massage, huckleberry jam, because you said you were grateful for it, and so that's why I've slopped it onto your face.
That's
at that time, I have practiced being grateful at times when it just looks really, really, really bad. Sometimes if you listen to the news and nowadays, it seems so, so dark. And yet, between those news flashes, there is wonderful, abundant life. And so grateful for that. That's the focus.
Here's a pro tip for everybody. Turn off the news. Just turn it off and remove yourself from social media for a few days at a time. I try. It's hard in our work that we do. But
I've done that now for 8 months.
Yeah, and life's a lot better.
Yeah, I'm news-free, and I'm loving life. It's just wonderful. Yeah.
And here's another thing. It doesn't hurt. It's not like going to rehab where you start, you know, delirium tremors and stuff. None of that happens. You might pick up a book. You might have a conversation with your wife or your husband or whoever it is. Who knows? Or your kids, God forbid. But you know what? It's good. So I would do that. All right. We've just got a few minutes left. Favorite dessert at Christmas. We'll start with Leanne.
I always make my Nana's own design pie, which is her own recipe, and it is homemade pie crust, and it has like a custard type filling. And then when you take it out of the oven, you sprinkle semi-sweet chocolate on it, and then you put a meringue on top, and it's own design pie. Delicious.
Do you sweat after you eat it? I mean, my God.
Well, the meringue sweats. Yeah. We always used to talk about that. Why is the meringue crying?
Yes, absolutely.
Little sugar bubbles.
Graham?
Okay, mine definitely. Again, your own pie crust into the, and then Cross and Blackwell's mincemeat. Most stores that have, it's an English manufacturer, but they do mince meat. It really is mostly currants and raisins and orange peel, etc. But little pieces of lard are in there as well. So that is pasted into the pie crust, and that's baked in the oven about 400. And it all bubbles and settles. Bring it out and cool it. Then put sliced strawberries over the top of that. Over the whole of the top. And then, this is a new thing for me that I've been doing. I buy the Jell-O family size, no sugar added custard that they do. And it's a custard, it's a 2 minute whipping thing. And I pour that custard, get it well chilled and nice and thick, and pour that all over the top of it. That sinks down over the strawberries. And then that's cut up, and it's delicious.
That's delicious. Yeah.
Could you do the mincemeat in a roll, like a pastry crust, and then spread it out and roll it up and do the same thing?
Oh, and roll it up.
Yeah.
I was just putting it in a pie tin. You know?
Oh, I understand, but
I love the I get you.
Yeah, kind of like a Graham's version of a Yule log, if you will, but right, it's me. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, I'm just thinking for a moment of the croissant as well, but maybe just to buy a croissant and then slice it from the side and fill that with mincemeat and with that custard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That fun.
See, you learn all kinds of things when you do this show. What can I say? It's all good. So we're going to get out of here in a minute, but I really wanted to, first of all, thank our listening audience. We've been doing this a long time and longer than I care to admit, not just this show, but radio shows. And I think I speak for Leanne and Graham. We really want you to have a great Christmas season. It's only a couple weeks away now. Mm-hmm. And I hope you don't forget why we actually celebrate it. It's not to go to Costco and buy toys and stuff, although that's part of it, but that's not why we celebrate it. But we genuinely hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And I would invite you also to stick around and listen to After Hours, because I got some new questions for Graham.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I got some new ones there. Anyway, if you
can, add one?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we talked about the news being dark and thing, and there's an old scripture which talks about that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus was speaking, but I came so that you might have life and have it abundantly. My prayer for this, for all of your listeners, is they have set the thievery and the destruction on one side and enjoy an abundant life this Christmas.
I couldn't agree more.
Thank you. I love that.
I love that too. All right. So for Leanne and Graham, we thank you for joining us. We all hope you have a great Christmas holiday. You're going to hear this message again because we got a couple more shows to do prior to Christmas. But until then, go out, be kind. Remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. And we will be back next week. Take care, everybody.
Attention stations, contact Jeff at thecowboycook.com for distribution of the show after December 13th.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.